my friend.
Hello.
Hello, welcome. Let's get a big moo for Willow.
Oh, I always forget the K part.
K-moo, community radio. So this is, of course, folks, this is, as we were anticipating her arrival, the Willow of willowsweb.blogspot.com, the world's premier punk pagan astrologer extraordinaire.
You are just asking for evil eyes toward Willow today.
Of the cyber world and the other worlds, too. Now, there's so what happened when you called in, the phone didn't ring, but a light, this big red light went off. So
that was your indicator.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we're just talking about the latest issue of the Mountain Astrologer. And all the they got a nice feature on the Uranus-Pluto years. And for folks who are new, if they're freaking out and wondering what's going on, that might be a good idea. So, but anyhow, but we're not here to talk about, I mean, we can talk about Uranus-Pluto if you want, but let's see. So there is much going on. There's a Venus transit.
Yeah.
And you, I believe the rumor is you have an announcement to make in regards to the the Venus transit.
Well, I don't know if it's like a huge announcement, but yeah, the Venus transit is coinciding with the coming together of the Willowpalooza tour.
That's
in Northern
right.
California.
That's right.
So, woohoo! I'll be visiting beautiful Northern California for the Venus Transit 2012, which is awesome.
And by the way, there was another RSVP for your private get-together.
All right.
The only challenge is the host registered like four different emails, so it's unclear where they're. Maybe this is the South Node in Gemini. I don't know. It was I don't know which email I checked to see who it is.
So you don't know who's coming, but somebody is coming.
So
that's okay.
Yeah, I have to sit down and go through each email and figure out which one it was to get into their system.
Is what I'm getting at.
So anyway. But yeah, there was another.
Or you can just leave it a mystery.
I could do that too.
We'll just see who shows up.
Yeah, but there's a. So yeah, you're coming through Northern California, and it's very gorgeous here. And
I've heard.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how you perceive it, because we Bovinians, you know, we're out here, so it seems normal. But you're visiting from a different world.
Yes. Uh-huh. Well, Canada is also beautiful, but I'm sure in different ways. So, yeah, it'll be definitely a different landscape, different feel, and, you know, yeah, it'll be interesting, for
and
sure.
Is it icy up there? I mean, where you live, is it a lot of snow and ice? And
No. Oh, American. No. It's green and beautiful. Yeah, it's actually 29 degrees here today, which is, I think, like high 80s.
Oh, wow,
Fahrenheit.
Really?
So it's actually our first really warm day, though.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So, I suppose technically we could have ice. It's rare that there would still be ice and snow here.
Do you get ice and snow?
Like maybe in way northern, like Northwest Territories or the Yukon or Nunavut, there might still be a bit ice.
Do you get ice and snow in the winter there?
Of course.
Yeah. We don't. It's during the. We get not. I mean, there's snow. You got to go up into the mountains. But here in.
Well, the west coast of Canada is usually. Lots of times they don't have much snow at all. Yeah. So yeah. The west coast is probably cooler, but similar climate to you guys.
Yeah. Well, anyhow.
I'm in the mid area.
It's going to be a fascinating adventure.
Yeah, so, definitely. Definitely a memorable place to be for the Venus transit coming up.
So. Yeah. Now, for folks who are listening, if people in Northern California, if they want to check in on the Willowpalooza tour, your blog, of course, willowsweb.blogspot.com. But so for folks who are listening out there, and they may be... newer to astrology, and they're wondering, wow, the the host and the guest are getting all excited about this Venus transit. What's going on? And
what is it?
Yeah. So
tell. Well, basically, okay. There are two things going on right now. Venus is retrograde in Gemini. It just went retrograde May 15th, and it'll be retrograde until I think June 27th. And so that's basically the love and relationship planet, the planet that rules money, values, aesthetic, beauty, things of this nature, appearing to move backwards through the zodiac, and indicating the close of a previous relationship cycle, actually cycles within cycles, and the beginning of new. Okay, so, and then as part of that, we experience the Sun-Venus conjunction. So Venus is moving backward again. The Sun is moving forward through Gemini. Well, it will be moving forward through Gemini, and they'll come together June 5th. And, okay, so that is Venus at perigee, which is the closest point that it comes to Earth in its orbit. So if anyone has been getting into all that supermoon hoopla, which I really don't like personally, and I don't call it supermoon, but I know that's become like this huge thing with the supermoon and it's so big and yada yada. Well, this is like super Venus, right? This is Venus at the closest point that it gets to Earth. And not only that, but it's forming a really sort of tighter than usual alignment with the Earth, Venus, and Sun. And it's actually going to create the effect of an eclipse by Venus. So basically, we're going to be able to visibly see Venus moving across the face of the Sun. And so this is an astronomical event. It's also an astrological event. Okay, and Venus transits happen in, and this is Venus transit as in capital V, capital T. So I'm not sure who called it the Venus transit. It's basically the Venus transit of the Sun. But we call the movement of planets through signs transits. So it's in astrology. So it's a little bit confusing.
Yeah, that was confusing when you first told me about it. I was like, well, isn't it just another Venus transit? And then you're like, no, it's a big deal. And I was like, well, if Willow says it's a big deal, it's a big deal.
it's kind of a big deal. Like this is Venus transits happen in pairs. So the last one we experienced was June 2004. And this is sort of like the culmination point, you know, the bookend, the final bookend transit. And this is, it'll take more than 100 years for this alignment to form again, right? So for Venus to visibly be crossing the face of the Sun. So in other words, this is the last Venus transit that we will experience, most of us will experience in our lifetimes. So it's a big deal, definitely, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, well it the imagery you use with it makes sense that it would be a big deal with the Venus passing, but you know, in front of the Sun and working, mm-hmm. and being so visible, even if we didn't know astrology, even if we were
exactly,
it would seem like, well, gee, if let's say we were primitive peoples and we were looking up at the sky, we'd be like, well, you know, this seems like it's probably a pretty big deal.
Yeah, like what is this spot in front of the Sun? What's going on? Yeah. What's happening? Exactly.
And then yeah. Maybe
so it's again, the astronomy world and the astrology world will be. This is one of those points where they come together. They're looking at the same thing, and they all agree that it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool. It is. It's very exciting. The whole everything.
Yeah.
So
we should also maybe mention. Oh, sorry. We should also maybe mention the show is going to be happening.
Oh, now. That's right. And show. Well, this show will be on at that time.
Yeah.
And there'll be
June 7th.
There'll be a special in studio guest, probably. we're hoping.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Speaking of which, there's a new whirling device here in the studio, and it's unclear to me what it does.
A whirling device.
Yeah, it's just over here in the corner, and it's it's. Anyways, that's neither here nor there.
Well, no, that's very interesting.
And, but you possibly will be an in-studio guest. And so for the folks who are listening, they're hearing the two of us get excited about it, and there's a big Willowpalooza tour. Are there, what are the type of things that that other non willow eye? Other so the typical Bovinian. What could the typical? You're a Willowinian, and what could a Bovinian do to make use of this? Similar to how
mark this transit.
Yeah. To,
well, I think a big part of astrology is just observing, right? So actually understanding that this is happening. The Sun-Venus conjunction happens in the evening of June 5th. And then, of course, the sun will be, you know, going down. And June 6th is when it'll be visible. And you know what? I don't know exactly where it'll be visible. Like, I'm not sure if North America, I forgot to check into that, whether it'll be visible in North America. But basically just observing these days as something special. Venus is related to love, right, and relationships. And so if you think of it, Venus is at the closest point to the Earth, and it's aligning with the sun, right? And so that's just this warm, you know, beneficent, loving energy, basically. So just on a very basic level, it's a nice time and a couple of nice days to observe in your life. At the same time, the way I read this is, again, with the relationship cycles that are discharging and simultaneously beginning. It's Venus retrograde is a good time. It's a retrospective time, right, particularly related to relationships. And not only love relationships, but all types of relationships, right? So if you can kind of go back to where you were in 2004, particularly sort of spring, summer 2004, you'll see a big cycle that's coming to a close or coming to a culmination point in your life, as well as sort of a stepping off point for new relationships, you know, new connections to come into your life.
Thank God.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are feeling that way.
Because some of us are wondering when this is going to end, when the current cycle, whatever planet it is connected to, was going to end. And
the last couple of Venus cycles have been pretty rough.
Yeah. Well, it is a, it's always neat to know that the planetary weather, so to speak, is, you know, lining up with, where there is, something that, I'm not sure how to say it, but you know, where there's a, you're like, when is this going to end?
I'm sick of this, man. Yeah, and usually, you know, usually start getting like that right at the end of a, you know, right at the end of a transit or right at the end of a cycle. You're just like, ah,
and you start,
more of this.
You start wondering.
But yeah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
The cool thing about what Venus does is it retrogrades. So Venus actually retrogrades in the same five signs, you know, give or take a little bit of crossover, every 8 years. So we consider Venus to have an eight-year cycle. And what it does with these retrograde points is it actually forms a five-pointed star in the sky, right, or in the zodiac. And so with this Venus transit, we form the fifth and final point of the star, or the pentagram, that was begun in June 2004. At the same time, we begin a new five-pointed star, so new five-pointed pentagram. You know, so it's just this kind of symbolism of, you know, beautiful completion points and entering something new.
So what people are doing on that day and maybe a day or two after, would that maybe set the tone for the next 8 years?
It definitely could. Like, it depends. Transits don't always show up as sort of momentous events. A lot of times it's stuff going on internally, not necessarily externally, but, you know, that can be equally momentous. But definitely there should be this feel of being released in certain ways and kind of getting excited or turning your sights to something fresh and a new kind of direction, particularly related to the connections you're making, the society you're keeping.
The company you're keeping?
Exactly.
Well,
yeah,
the company that some of us Bovinians will be keeping that time is going to be a lot better than it was 8 years ago. So.
Because I'm going to be there?
Yeah, pretty much.
Just kidding.
No, it's true. And, you know, other folks too. But yeah,
definitely.
But it is definitely be an improvement over 8 years ago. So yeah, that
and,
is
and, yeah, because like and we're actually going to talk about that on the show also. Is we're going to talk about where were you 8 years ago and where are you now, right? And look at that as a kind of a retrospective. So the show is also going to be interactive, so people can call in or they can email us.
That's
stuff if they would like
that's to. Right. Now, for folks, so we'll have a free, the phone line will be free because most likely Willow will be here in studio, which is like ridiculously exciting to think that you'll be sitting right here.
Crazy.
And you've
it's
never,
awesome.
You, of course, have never even been in here, so you don't know what it looks like, which is why I hopefully this machine that's whirling will not be whirling when you're here.
That's okay. You warned me ahead of time. That was the first,
anyways. But you'll be here, and there is, so you'll be here, and so the phone line will be free, so people will be able to call in.
Yeah.
And, of course, we have listeners outside of the immediately Bovinian occupied territory, so if they're not able to call in, they can write to, how about they write to you? Would that
sure.
be? And your email is pagan something at... Pagan 75
no,
or no?
It's willowsweb at shaw.ca.
That was your email probably in high school, right? Like pagan 95473.
No, I don't really call myself a pagan all that much. I'm a country folk, so yeah, that's the kind of pagan I am.
A country
farmers and
what is there a phrase for like pagan farmer pagan? Because there's a lot of farmer pagans out here.
Oh, well, I think farmers are. I mean, farmers pretty much are. Well, no, I guess it depends what the definition is, right? Old school definition of pagan was just like country dweller. It was like a slur, basically. I think, right? That was used against people who were considered heathens who just lived out in the backwoods and
like hillbilly or something.
Nature spirits.
Yeah.
Right. So I think it's really just like. In my mind, it's just people who live on the land according to the seasons and the natural cycles and stuff.
Do you guys have hip necks up in your area?
You know, we probably do, but that is a very exciting term that I didn't know existed. Maybe you should explain I'm sure people know exactly what you're talking about, but maybe for the non-Bovinian occupied territory, you should explain what that
so,
is.
So, and for folks in the Bovinian who may not know the specific term, and for...
Yes.
Folks, it was illuminated by Brock. I always want to call him Brock Lesnar after the wrestler, but Brock at the OAEC, and everybody here in Occidental knows OAEC. And Brock mentioned this phrase called hip neck, and it may have come from somewhere else, but Brock was the one who first made it known to me, and. He said it's basically a short for when out in the West County you had hippies and rednecks, and they began to interbreed, and you got this kind of a hybrid where the person will be a hippie, but they're not they're like actually also doing redneck stuff, or they're a redneck who also smokes weed or stuff like that.
Right.
So it's kind of a blend, and it's a little more of a pragmatic hippieism or a little more of a spiritual redneckism, if that makes any sense.
There are definitely people like that here, but unfortunately the area I'm in is more it's so dominated by the oil industry that there isn't much hip to the redneck,
there isn't
much hip to the neck in a lot of
which is ironic that of course you were also the first guest on this show, and this show the host used to write about the oil industry.
Yes.
So that was interesting.
That's why I always bring it up to you, which you're probably like, that was my old life.
Yeah.
Shut up.
No, not at all. The only problem is the personal pronoun thing.
The total hip neck thing is I just planted an organic vegetable garden within sight of an oil flare and oil well. That would be a perfect hip neck thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And also symbolically, a really neat thing. Do you know much about fruit trees by any chance?
Not a huge amount.
Oh, okay.
Sadly, no.
So, anyways, that's just because there's some out in the front yard that need a little assistance.
Need some attention.
They need some paganian plutonic.
Well, maybe we can see what we can do when I'm down there.
Yeah. But yeah. So, okay. So we have a few minutes here. Now, Elaine, who you recommended, thank you for the recommendation. She'll be on at 10:45. If you want, you're welcome to stay on the show till 10:40. Although if you need to get going, sure. That's totally understandable also. So
no, that's totally fine.
Yeah, so you have this Venus transit, and, you know, it seems so exciting and hard to think about too much else other than that. But there are, of course, other transits. And
jam-packed.
Mars, of course, is in Virgo. Mm-hmm. So if you need to get your place, if you need to get, like, the carpets cleaned, right, would be a good time.
Any areas that need attention.
Heading into the Venus transit, would getting the carpets clean be, but with organic carpet cleaning stuff?
That would be perfect.
No chemical.
No chemicals.
All natural.
That's right.
So, Mars is in Virgo. What do you have a thing on your blog? Jupiter, it was just the other day. Jupiter going back. Could you illuminate?
Jupiter just conjuncted Sedna, which was kind of an interesting conjunction. But while it was conjuncting Sedna on 22 degrees Taurus, it was on the degree of the most recent Jupiter-Saturn conjunction. And so Jupiter and Saturn, Jupiter is a planet of, it's the biggest planet, and so it's considered, you know, big grand plans, big ideas, you know, big philosophy, expansion in your life, right? Broadening your horizons. Saturn is more like nose to the grindstone, constriction, restriction, responsibilities, being very practical. How are you going to bring this about, right? How are you going to make this a concrete reality? And so these two planets interact in 20-year cycles. And so there's a broad expansion that comes about. Or sort of the grand idea comes about as those two conjunct, and then it takes 20 long years to bring it to its culmination. And so the last Jupiter-Saturn conjunction was at 22 degrees Taurus at the end of May in 2000, the year 2000. And so we started the Jupiter-Saturn cycle then, in 2000, which will come to a culmination point in 2020. The next one falls at 0 degrees Aquarius, which is apropos, right?
Right.
So what Jupiter just did, so it takes 12 years for Jupiter to travel through the zodiac. It takes 29 years for Saturn to travel through the zodiac. And so, of course, Jupiter is basically out in front of Saturn right now, right? They conjunct, and then Jupiter gets out in front of Saturn. And so Jupiter has just reached this degree of the 2000 conjunction, and so we've just kind of had a little bit of a progress report as far as our direction there, and hopefully a little boost there as far as the grand plans.
Would you say so? This Jupiter Saturn cycle, would it be accurate to say that Saturn, they're like your two uncles, but they of course live inside you, Anyways, two uncles. Saturn's like the hard, you know what, uncle, who wants the best for you, but is a little more of a hard, you know what.
Yes.
And Jupiter's a little more of the jovial uncle who's like,
he drinks.
Yeah, he drinks. He's kind of like Santa Claus.
Yeah, he sneaks you know, your first toke of a joint when you're 18.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll put it this way. He's the one. Would it be accurate to say Jupiter's the one who? That uncle visits and he just like hands you, he slips you some cash. Where Saturn says, Saturn wants to see how you're doing in school.
Exactly.
And then will pay out exactly what you have earned.
Yeah. It's tied to how many A's you're getting. Or else it's like put in an account that you can access when you're like 30 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's like,
exactly.
Right.
That is a perfect analogy.
And when,
two, I would say.
When they worked, and this is also, of course, internally, we each have Jupiter and Saturn, and
yes.
So you can think of it as Jupiter's your inner fun uncle, and Saturn's your inner hard uncle. But they both want what's best for you. But you know, so
yeah.
When they come,
and they have to work together in order to really see progress.
So when the two of them conjunct, which as you said happens every 20 years, that's kind of like is it like the rich uncle and the hard uncle and the fun uncle kind of getting together and...
Yes, setting the plan, right? Like, yeah. They're having a confab about what needs to happen and, you know, one has the grand plan and it's so fabulous and the other one's like, well, how are we actually going to reasonably make that happen?
And so then this event that's happening with Jupiter is kind of a progress report on what when the two of them got together last.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Exactly.
And it was in Taurus, so what was the significance of that?
Well, it fell in 22 Taurus, which I would associate with, like, the master builder. So, see, astrology is all related to how you see things, right? What lens you see things through.
Right.
So I see us as being at the, well, in 2000, we were basically making the transition between the astrological Piscean era and the astrological Aquarian era, right? Which seems like a broken record, but it's a pretty huge thing considering we're closing out, you know, 2100 years of history and beginning a new cycle. So to me, that's like building the link, you know, and building a foundation for all the changes that were coming and are here and are coming on the planet. Basically, that would be an area of craftsmanship, right? So developing your craftsmanship. But basically, wherever 22 Taurus falls in your natal chart, that would have been the area of life where this sort of expansion is happening, right? These grand renovations are happening that, again, take 20 years to really come to culmination.
Have anything? Do you know how they had that whole thing about every 20 years a president, something happens to the president, and then somewhere I remember reading that I guess they had connected that cycle to the Jupiter Saturn, and it was like Reagan happened when somebody attacked Reagan back in 82
yeah,
is right.
You know, I wouldn't doubt that cycle is being used.
Yeah.
Because this is a cycle that was used in, it's been used in astrology, you know, it's been used in sort of like ancient astrology and like the sort of older centuries. Astrology would have heavily sort of banked on, or they would have heavily focused on these cycles, right? These were cycles that all astrologers used, well, I don't know about all astrologers, I shouldn't say that, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it was a common thing, right? And it was very sort of seriously looked at. So I definitely wouldn't doubt that cycle is being used to plot things, right? Because that's basically what astrology is.
There had been this theory in American politics every 20 years, you know, there's some big event. And then in astrology, I remember reading that it was like something to do with the Native Americans or something. But then I remember reading in astrology that seemed to coincide with Jupiter Saturn. But anyways, it was just interesting that it was just like a kind of a conventional theory that somebody had come up with looking at historical cycles, not looking at astrology or anything. They just went back to the,
yeah,
you know,
and then it coincided with
and then the theory was doesn't automatically mean something bad's going to happen. What it really means is like the old school people viewed every 20 years as the beginning of a new cycle.
Yes.
So,
and I would say that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, yep. and so we kind of mistook it for some curse or for something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But so let's see what else is going on. We have a new moon in Gemini coming up, right? Pretty soon.
Yeah.
In a few days, is that?
Yeah, Sunday evening. That'll be coming together. It's on zero Gemini. And then we have another new moon in Gemini. We have two new moons in the sign.
How does that work? You have two new moons in the...
I don't know. It happens.
Is it because they're in Gemini? There's always two of them or something?
No, it's not always Gemini. Or is it? Maybe it is. Maybe it's that area of the zodiac where that happens.
It would make sense if it was.
Yeah. I don't know why, but it's basically just like where it falls in the zodiac.
Right.
I don't think it's There's no anomaly there. Yeah. I think that's just how things, you know,
happen this particular year. There's
like some years are a leap year because we have to have a leap year to keep the calendar functioning. You know. and then we're also having a full moon in Sagittarius, which is also a partial eclipse. The day before the Venus transit, June 4th. So we have some powerful moon action going on. This one is also an annual. This new moon is also an eclipse, an annular eclipse.
So what should people either? It's going to be on the south node, right? Too.
Yeah.
So exactly. That's a kind of a one that is very. It can be perplexing because new moon is initiation, but then the south node is all the stuff you're supposed to be getting rid of. So
partially, yeah.
Help us, mere mortals, figure this out.
Well, it would basically, the signs are layered, right? So there's more than one expression. There's multiple expressions for each of the signs of the zodiac. So it's basically like there's one track through Gemini that is our vital path forward, and there are certain expressions of Gemini that we have to let go of and move out of. And determining that is, definitely a bit tricky.
What are some of the lower expressions of Gemini that maybe people want to let go of or eliminate?
Well, I don't do lower, higher, but some of the things that people could be watching Gemini relates to communication patterns, right? So if you've noticed certain ways that you are used to communicating and getting results are no longer working, then that would indicate that you need to refine your communication. You need to be more careful about when you choose to communicate and when you don't choose to communicate. Gemini South Node would be like there are some pitfalls related to staying in constant contact. There are some pitfalls related to word usage, how you choose to say things and what you choose to say. It relates to society, so there could be like a certain level. I don't know, like gossiping gets a bad rap, but I mean, I think everyone gossips a little bit, but like really nasty gossip would definitely, it's definitely one of those times where like you could get caught, you could get your butt in a sling, right? The person walks up behind you if you're like talking crap about them. So it's a time to just hold your tongue, but there is also an impetus to making connections, right? And to making particularly new connections, having new types of conversations and that type of thing. So it is tricky, right? Because, we have to stay in contact to a certain degree because this Gemini new moon is opening into sort of a new communication cycle, a new cycle of like sort of societal connections and those types of things, and then doubly because we have an additional new moon in Gemini at the end of June. But then again, there is sort of this cautionary. So, but the South Node isn't all bad either, right?
Right.
So it's a really soulful point, and it's actually a point of a certain level of mastery. So another layer of it is that would be drawn into our new moon, our new cycle, drawing on what's come before.
So the upside, the functional, would you say is functional and less functional? Is that appropriate as opposed to higher and lower?
Or maybe I just would look at it as like successful navigation and unsuccessful navigation times of the astrological
energy. So if there's a hypothetically an unsuccessful navigation, if somebody is gossiping and they begin doing it too much and they don't let go of it, would this be the time that they accidentally post something on Facebook?
Totally.
And they hit the wrong button. You know, when you do that, you hit the wrong button and it goes out to everybody.
Yeah. And it's really hard because there's some stuff building, right? Because the South Node's like a hot point, and then like a new moon is a hot point too. So it's like people want to stay stuff. I want to stay stuff myself, to be quite honest. But I'm like, no, hold it. You know, but so it's tricky because again, it's a point where we do need to be putting forth our perspectives because we have to be if we have something to say, we have to say it, right? But at the same time, you have to be very careful about what you say, where you say it, right? Especially on internet channels, because those things can come back to bite you, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So, so a good, successful navigation would be, you know, maybe, because most folks, even here in Bovinian land, are probably the internet stuff is kind of overdone. But maybe a good time to do the old school Gemini connections, like actually go down to the bookstore and, you know, meet a real person. Would that?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, write a letter. It would be a good time to write a letter, maybe. Yeah.
If people can remember how to handwrite.
Yeah. People can still read each other's handwriting. Yeah. I don't know if that's possible. Or if they can still spell. I don't know.
Yeah.
Good time to read the dictionary.
And write with Mars and Virgo, of course, the combination
exactly.
There.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. The South Node in Gemini is kind of like a overload with the constant communication, constant connection, the constant texting and instant messaging and emailing and cell phoning and all that stuff. It's just like enough, right?
Do you think all this cell phone stuff is going to be this fad is finally going to just kind of like die out with cell phones and stuff?
I think on a certain layer, but not really. Yeah. I mean, have you walked down a city street lately? People can't do anything without.
I'm a cancer.
I
don't
come
out
until Blackberries or whatever. Yeah. So, I don't know.
Well, this host has just a $10 track phone.
What's a track phone?
It's like a ten. It's a $10 thing you buy at Safeway. You don't want to get an actual
like a card you put on it. Yeah,
kind of like that. It's like a really cheap cell phone where it's like the absolute bare bones minimum to have a cell phone. And so it costs $10, and then you just like every month you buy like $10 of minutes.
I'm really hoping that landlines are going to come back into vogue because I way prefer landlines.
Yeah,
they're
same
just so
here.
Much more useful. They're so much more grounded. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They don't
point.
Give you cancer.
Yeah,
I know of.
That's a good point. They are more inherently more grounded. They're a landline, and they sound better, and just less foolery goes on with them.
Exactly. You're not like, you know, out in the club with your landline because you had too many drinks.
Hey,
not posting stuff to Facebook that you really shouldn't be posting.
You were about the same age. You may remember this. I don't know. When we were younger, if you were at a club and you had to get somebody's phone number, you actually had to find a pin.
Yeah, exactly. You didn't just program it into your phone.
And there was always that drama of trying to find somebody who had a working pin. And it's something that these kids don't get to experience because they just bump their phone. The phones, you can bump them together and they won't.
I know, and everybody does it too. It's like it's not a big deal to get someone's phone number. Like it doesn't really mean anything really necessarily.
Whereas,
they can just easily delete it or ignore it later on.
Yeah, when we were younger, you get that phone number on the scrap. It was like almost like an initiatory experience. Like you get the phone number on the scrap of paper. You got to make sure not to lose it.
Exactly.
You know? And then you're digging through the trash because you thought you accidentally threw it out. You know?
Yeah. No, I know. But, it was a whole thing.
It was a whole like little adventure. So anyways,
I even tried to head off the embarrassment by like writing my if I knew there was a guy I thought he was gonna write it, I'd write my number down ahead of time on a paper and then just
because
it was like, you know, let's just keep this smooth.
Pre planning, very smart.
Yeah, it's very Virgo, hey?
Yeah, no kidding. Good for you. Yeah. Anyhow, Elaine will be calling in maybe any minute. So,
well, enjoy the show.
Thank you so much for being on, and we shall chat because Gemini and communication with you is very successful and functional. So,
well,
yes.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. So, okay.
Okay. Thanks, Matt.
Okay. Thank you.
Talk later.
Okay. Bye. Okay, folks, let's see, we will take a little break.